Secretary of State Hillary Clinton toured Cairo's Tahrir Square today. Her trip is the first official U.S. visit to Egypt since Hosni Mubarak stepped down. And here's a comment Clinton made after she arrived yesterday.
I want to begin by saying very clearly and directly to the people of Egypt that this moment of history belongs to you. You broke barriers and overcame obstacles to pursue the dream of democracy.
It's a dream that perhaps is all the more poignant considering what's happening in Libya, where that revolution may be doomed to failure. There are many pasts, historic pasts, that is, to speak of in Egypt, the nationalistic era of Nasser, colonial era of King Farouk, the medieval caliphate of the Fatimids, and of course, the pharaohs. But how is that an unbroken line traveling all the way from the pharaohs to Tahrir Square? Or are we talking about many different Egypts in many different historic eras? Historian Tobia Wilkinson has dedicated his career to researching and studying Egypt, especially ancient Egypt, and he joins us now from our BBC studios in Cambridge. And Toby, you are actually drawing these connections in a relatively unbroken line from the days of the pharaohs all the way up to Hosni Mubarak. How is that?
Well, that's right. I think in Egypt, as in many places around the world, the history of the country casts a very long shadow. And I think if we're to understand what's been happening in Tahrir Square in recent months, it pays us to look back at the ancient history of the country. And in particular, the role of the military as power brokers. I mean, that's one of the most striking features of what's happened recently. But it's nothing new. If you go back 3,500 years to the days of the boy pharaoh Tutankhamun, after Tutankhamun's death, when he was buried in his fabulous tomb in the Valley of the Kings, it was once again the military that held the balance of power in Egypt. And in fact, it was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces then who, in the interests of national security, stepped up, proclaimed himself pharaoh in succession to Tutankhamun, and ushered in a period of military rule that lasted for, some 150 years. So, in fact, these historic patterns have really been repeating themselves in Egypt over many, many millenniums.
You know, your new book, it's called The Rise and Fall of Ancient Egypt. It begins at that very dramatic moment when they're uncovering the tomb of King Tut. And that's a moment in history that still captivates people, even today. But you're talking about something much more practical and pragmatic, which is this ancient distrust of uncertainty, that the dislike for a vacuum of power in Egypt, that there always needs to be someone else to step in.
That's right. It's been a very persistent feature of the Egyptian worldview, if you like. The thing that is most threatening to them is a vacuum of power. I was talking to some Egyptians very recently, in fact, before the recent events unfolded in Cairo, and they made the point to me that stability is so important to the Egyptians, and that has always been the case, right from the days of the pharaohs up until the present day. And in fact, what makes the recent events in Cairo so remarkable is that for the first time really in their 5,000-year history, the Egyptians decided that democracy was in some ways more important than stability. But that breaks a very long pattern. And I think we see what's happened after the revolution in Tahrir Square is a reversion to the normal pattern, where actually stability is at the forefront of everybody's minds. And what was a relatively swift revolution has now calmed down, and people are focusing on restoring stable government.
And yet one of the things that becomes very clear in your book is that we don't often know as much about the regular citizens of Egypt, who have now taken on such an incredible role in the country, as we do about the power brokers and the pharaohs and the kings of Egypt.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean, most of our records from ancient Egypt are the records that were produced by and for the kings and their courtiers. So they don't tell us a huge amount about the daily lives of ordinary men and women. Of course, archaeology, digging up ancient settlements and so forth, can reveal a picture of what it was like to be an ordinary man or woman in ancient Egypt. But certainly the picture that we get is that Egypt in ancient times, as until very recently, was a very rigidly ordered society, very hierarchical, with a very powerful central government, and little, if any, opportunity for ordinary people to express an opinion.
Historian Tobia Wilkinson, author of The Rise and Fall of Ancient Egypt, how do you reconcile this notion of a fear of a vacuum of power in Egypt with the idea that maybe you're saying that the Egyptians yearn for a form of dictatorship, that they can't handle democracy. Some sentiment that actually Egyptians responded to very angrily during the Tahrir Square uprising when we were speaking with them.
Well, I think in ancient times there was simply no democratic model for the Egyptian population to follow. I mean, their country had been a dictatorship, if you want to use that word, for many, many centuries. Of course, what's changed in the modern world, particularly with internet and Twitter and so forth, is that patterns of government from elsewhere in the world are very visible to people in different countries. And I think that's made a huge difference in that the Egyptians have found their voice. As I say, for the first time in their 5,000 years of history, they have taken their future in their hands in a very, very remarkable break with long tradition.
Well, and that suggests, Toby Wilkinson, that history can't teach us much about the future of Egypt.
Well, I think, as somebody once said, those who don't learn from history are condemned to repeat it. And I think it behoves us all to look at the history of Egypt and indeed other parts of the world in order to understand both what's going on today and what may come around in the future.
Of course, not to be argumentative, the UK had a dictatorship for quite a while and then they turned a corner.
Well, that's right. And I think it one of the hopeful things of studying history is that you do see societies moving from repressive regimes into more democratic futures. And let's all hope that that is in Egypt, that will take root.
He compares him to a modern pharaoh, President Hosni Mubarak, in some of his writings. Toby Wilkinson, though, in his new book, talks all about ancient Egypt. It's called The Rise and Fall of Ancient Egypt. And he joined us from BBC Studios in Cambridge. Toby Wilkinson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.